Look, if you will, this morning in Book of Romans and Romans chapter 1. And Paul is writing his introduction beginning in verse 15. He says, "So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The word gospel means good news, and it is good news. And in these verses of scripture, Paul makes a statement, and then he uses a little word called for between that statement, as he says another statement. And that means I'm now going to explain to you what I meant by the statement I just made. And so let's look at these things that he says beginning in verse 15. He says, "So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Other translation says he was eager. He was excited. He could not wait to come and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to this church at Rome. He had not been to this church. He had longed to come to this church. It had already been established. And he'd been hindered. But he was writing this letter to them, and he tells them, I'm just eager. I'm so excited because I want to come and preach to you the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, the book of Romans is a detailed explanation of that gospel. So first he's excited, and then he tells us why in verse 16. "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." He says, one of the reasons I'm so excited to tell you about it, so reason I'm excited to preach it to you, is because I am not one bit ashamed of it. I don't shrink back from it. I don't apologize for it. I'm not ashamed by anything is in the gospel. I'm eager to proclaim it, whether you want to hear it or whether you don't want to hear it, whether you're hostile to it or not. I am not ashamed of this gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was eager. That's why he was excited about preaching the gospel, because he wasn't one bit ashamed. You know, when you go out into the world and you mention Christ, it's easy to not mention Christ because there's hostility towards Christ, or people make fun of, quote, being a Christian and the values that it is. But you know, you can easily be ashamed, but not the Apostle Paul. He wasn't one bit ashamed of this. He was excited about it. And if he were here and you tried to shame him or you tried to make a mockery of him, I can tell you the Apostle Paul would stand right in the middle of Congress, and they could boo him and hate him and yell at him and take him out by police force. But he was not ashamed if he would have given the opportunity to stand up in front of them and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he was eager. But why was he not ashamed? He tells you. He says, "For it," that is the gospel of Christ, "is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He's one of the reasons I'm excited, because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. That word power, we get the word dynamite. We get something that is powerful in its effect. Now, dynamite is negative in its effect, but the idea is that which is powerful, that which produces something wonderful. And he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because of the power of the absolute wonderful gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, power, I've never been where they sent off the rocket in Florida, but they say for miles around when that ship goes off, you can feel the ground shake. And it's almost like an earthquake because of the power and the roar of those engines to lift it up above the earth. I can remember when I used to fly. That's long gone now, but I remember when I used to fly. And boy, those engines would rear up and get to going, and then we'd take off. And you could just feel the roar and the power of that engine as it just lifted that plane up off the earth. And then we went into the sky. And the power of that jet engine was unbelievable. I don't know if any of you have ever arm wrestled. I used to arm wrestle some, and some have some real strong power in their arm. It's like go and down. That's how strong and powerful they are. There's many things that are powerful in this life. Well, Paul is excited about the gospel because in it is the power of Almighty God. The gospel is not just some little old silly doctrine. It's just not some little old silly Baptist thing that we Baptists happen to believe. It's not just some old silly weak thing that, oh, it's nice to believe the gospel. But in the gospel is supposed to be God's tremendous power. God's tremendous power, notice what he says, it is his power unto salvation. It is his power to reach down and save people. To reach down and make a change in a person's life. People are not lost because they're bad. They're bad because they're lost. They don't have Christ. They have no power in their life. They have nothing that can affect a change in them. They are like Romans 1 when he describes all the sinfulness of humanity. They're full of backbiting and gossip and envy and all kinds of negative emotions and hard feelings. And all of these things are part of their lives because they've not experienced the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel is not just simply something you adhere to. It is something you experience. It is God's amazing power that is introduced into a person's life, and it affects a real life change. Notice how it comes, he says. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. We said a couple of Sundays ago that it is not by works, it's not by good deeds, it's by faith in Jesus Christ and him alone. You know what the gospel is? The gospel is a recognition that I don't have what it takes. It's a recognition that I don't have what is needed. And so rather than trust in myself, I simply believe and I trust and I throw myself upon the mercy of God and I trust in Christ and what he has done. I rely upon Jesus Christ and nothing else. I believe and trust in him. And it is available to all. Because it is God's amazing power to reach down and change. Now I want you to notice why he said it's the power of God. Notice verse 17. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed, from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. That is, I'm excited to preach the gospel, number one, because I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm not ashamed of it because it is something that has great, great power. And the reason it has great power is this in verse 17. For in the gospel therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. We're going to say the same thing we said last time. It's all through the scripture. It's found in Romans 10. It's found all through the scripture. The simple gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is so very clear. If you hear someone say, I'm good, set them aside. They don't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hear someone say, I'm good enough to go to heaven, set them aside. They don't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hear someone brag on their attendance at church, I go to church all the time, I'm somebody wonderful, you set them aside because they don't know the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hear someone say, I'm just as good as those people down there at Boston Baptist Church, you set them aside because they don't know the gospel
of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you hear us Christians here, quote, Christians say, well, I'm just as good as the next person, and look at all the good deeds I do, and want to pat ourselves on the back, you set us aside because we're not following the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what it says. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It says nothing in the gospel about the righteousness of man. Wherever man's righteousness is exalted, there is no gospel. There is no truth. Because the gospel is not about how righteous you are. The gospel is not how good you're doing. The gospel is not the fact that I go to church some. The gospel is not the fact that I try my best. The gospel has nothing to do with your righteousness. The gospel is about the righteousness of Almighty God. Someone says, I'm good enough to go to heaven. Oh, okay, well, you don't believe the gospel then, because that's not what the gospel's about. Gospel has nothing to do with your righteousness and your good deeds and your good effort and your trying your best. The gospel has to do with the righteousness of Almighty God, the absolute holiness of Almighty God. And Paul said, this is why the power of the gospel is so real, because it's about the righteousness of God, not the righteousness of humanity. If you listen to every form of religion, they always say the same thing. It's something I do. It's something we achieve. It's some work we do. It's some thing we do. We pray five times a day. We do this five times a day. But that's not the gospel. The gospel exalted the righteousness of God. And let me tell you why. Turn over to Romans 3. Romans chapter 3, and we'll come back. Romans chapter 3 and verse 10, he says, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. There's only one that's righteous and high and lifted up, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ, and that is God Almighty. And the Bible says there's none righteous, no, not one. The gospel is not a revelation of how good we are. The gospel is a revelation of how great and majesty God is and how God gives to us that righteousness which belongs to Him. We'll say it again. He says, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. I love the way the Ryrie Study Bible says it. The Ryrie Study Bible says that Jesus Christ lived perfectly. Jesus Christ atoned for sin. And when we are saved, God imputes that righteousness to us in our account so that we are accepted. The Holy Spirit comes inside of us to impart that righteousness that is not of us, but it is of Almighty God. The gospel reveals what God does and who God is and how righteous God is and how holy God is, not how wonderful we are. And if we glory in ourselves and if we glory in what we do and if we glory in the fact that we're good enough, we don't follow the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of Lord Jesus Christ glories in God and His righteousness and His wonder and His glory, and that salvation, He gives it to me. He imparts it to me. And He does it by my simple faith and trust in Christ. I said it a couple of weeks ago. God looks at all of us and says, you're not good enough. And you never will be. So I'll give you what you need. I'll give you my perfect righteousness, so that righteousness will be seated at the right hand of the Father and you'll ever be accepted in my eyes. But I'll also impart that righteousness to you by the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit, will produce love and joy and peace and patience and gentleness and kindness and holiness and godliness and purity and morality and all of those things. I will impart to you a character, a righteousness that reflects what I am. You see, religion is trying to give to God what I am in me. But Christianity is God giving to me what he is and letting that live through me. Why do we say we want to be Christ-like? That is because that's the gospel. That is, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. And notice he says from faith to faith. It starts by trust in Christ. It is in the middle by trust in Christ. It is the end by trust in Christ. It is by faith from beginning to end. It is God giving his righteousness to me. Now, in and of myself, I'm a pretty mean fellow. And you may not know that. I'm just mean. I really am. I'm mean. You don't know how many times I wanted to punch somebody out in myself. But I haven't done it because there's a life living within me. There's a righteousness that lives within me. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible. Sometimes I find the Bible just doesn't minister to me. But there's a life living in me that it's not of my flesh and my desire, but it's the righteousness that God produces in me. Produces a love for his word, a love to want to pray, a love for his people, a love for his church, a love to want to be an example and a testimony of what it means to be a Christian. A desire in a difficult situation to at least try to act halfway decent, you know, not pitch a fit and carry on and act ugly, at least trying to be gracious and kind. There's a righteousness that is not of humanity. It is a righteousness which comes through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it is by faith. Now, there are those who have had faith, but it's not a true faith. And let me try to explain it this way. Let us suppose that we were in this building this morning and we had all our valuables in here. And someone came running in here and said, "The church is on fire. The church is on fire." And they just stood there. And they waited while we panicked and we run out. But maybe some of us who were discerning thinking, "Well, if the church is on fire, why aren't they running out? I don't believe their words. I don't believe they're telling the truth. I believe they're just saying that, when in fact they're wanting to get us out so they can steal all our valuables." That's what it means to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some profess a faith. Some say a faith, but it's not genuine, because the righteousness that comes from Jesus Christ is not reflected in their life. He said, "Preacher, I thought we're saved apart from works." Yes, we are, by faith in Christ. But Lotus, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed. It is a righteousness which comes from God, which makes a difference in the life. I've often said this: "Preacher, are your children saved?" "Yes. So far, it looks like it." "I believe they are. We'll just have to see as time moves along. I want to see the evidence. I want to see the continuing evidence that they've truly trusted in that Lord Jesus Christ, because I see the reflection of righteousness live in and through them." You see, the gospel doesn't reveal human righteousness. It reveals God's righteousness, first in our behalf in heaven and then lived in us by the indwelling person of the Holy Spirit. "Preacher, I just get bored with preaching." Well, maybe my sermon's bad. I don't know. I'll try to improve. But there might be something else wrong. I get tired of church, you know. I just get tired of church. Well, okay. But this is God's people. This is where God's people meet. There might be something wrong. "You know, preacher, I don't know. My life isn't totally what it ought to be." Well, you might all take an examination. Have you truly trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, in him alone? Because there is a real righteousness that lives in and through us. The Bible talks about it in Galatians 5. The Bible talks about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The Bible talks about it all through the Bible. A faith in Christ is not just a belief. It is a trust in a Savior who makes me righteous before God and who will make me righteous because that is what I desire. It's not just a ticket that I stamp and say, hallelujah, I'm going to heaven. But it's a trust and a receiving of God's righteous character lived out throughout all our lives. People sometimes are turned off by Christians. Well, you'd have to tell me what you mean by that. Some are probably not Christians, and some are at that time falling away from God. God to deal with them. But God, whom He justifies, God sanctifies and pours out His righteous and holy character and Christ-likeness through us as we trust in the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, that is in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. You know what I live by? I don't live by my words. I live by my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I live by faith by the indwelling Holy Spirit who lives that life in me. If the fruit of the Spirit is not there, love, joy, peace, patience, gentleness, kindness, self-control, and temperance has to be there to some degree. Something's wrong. Because let me tell you what the gospel is. The gospel is God taking His holy character and giving it to us through His Son Christ and through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And if my perspective is, Lord, I hope I'm doing good enough, then I'm not trusting in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, because I got news for you folks, I'm not doing good enough. If there's anything worthwhile in me, if you see anything that's worthwhile, if you see anything, I'm telling you what, it's not me. It is simply the power of God's salvation who's affected. If I'm able to forgive someone who's harmed me, it's only because of the power of God's grace working in me. If I'm able to live a decent and holy life, it's only because of God's power living and working through me. That's the gospel. God reaching down and saying, here, I give you myself. Notice what He gives. Christ is God, and He took our place on the cross and lived perfectly. The Holy Spirit is God, and He comes to live in us. In other words, God says, I give you myself so that what comes out of ourselves is God and His amazing presence as He makes us holy. Let's pray. Father, we love You today and we thank You, we thank You, we thank You for the preciousness of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray for anyone here today that needs to trust in Him. I pray for anyone today whom You need to work in their hearts. Lord, we thank You for a righteous and holy God who reached down and gave us something that we do not have. We do not have anything to stand in Your presence. We do not have anything that will make ourselves right with You, but we do have our faith and trust in the perfect person of Christ. And Lord, on the daily basis, we have nothing to account in our own strength. Our righteousness in Your eyes is like filthy rags. The only righteousness that pleases You is that which we allow You to live through and in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray now as we sing, whatever decision needs be made, we ask Your blessing in Christ's name. Amen.